Blog Talk Radio.
Make everyone realize we've all got a divine image. We'll help you up the scrimmage. It's no dream to understand that you have a Tzelem Elokim, a divine image. Good morning, good afternoon. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Chanukah. This is the second day of Chanukah. We lit the second light last night. Let's just remind ourselves that SOUL is an acronym for our particular radio broadcast on blessedbloodtalkradio.com. Is an acronym for S70, oldest or universal. I say O, oldest or original. U, universal. L, laws. Seven Noahic commandments, which can be tersely described as: number one, not to blaspheme the Creator with the name of the Creator. Number two, not to serve idols. Number three, not to commit premeditated acts of murder. Four, not to commit adultery. Five, not to steal. Six, not to eat the limb of an animal while still alive. Number seven, to raise up righteous statutes which are agreeable to the human normative consciousness to spread across the land, like charity and proper education and proper education, how people should live together as one human family. Kala Mishpachal Adama. Here we today, blessed souls, on our fourth edition of Quantum Torah, hope to continue with our humble efforts now in today's show, connecting it with the Festival of Lights, Hanukkah, by contrasting the number 7 with the number 8 and the connection to human consciousness. We hope to feature the teachings of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Ben Ish Chai, and Rav Hillel Meir Parich. Plus, I just want to mention quickly some links that will help to further stimulate your blessed mind and soul. www.chabad.org, that's chabad.org, www.thewellsprings.org, www.inner askmoses.org and www.asknoah.org. And joining me today is co-host who's been away for a while, but to hear his voice in a second will bring me a smile, quantum soul analyst and raw food activist, advocate, teacher, and student, all-around good guy, Mordechai Ben Mozi Sontag from the hills of California. Good morning, Mordechai.
Good morning, and I'm here to bring you a smile, and that is not a lie.
Okay, Mordechai, we're going to hopefully penetrate some teachings from some pretty holy men here, but the reason why we're calling this humble effort Quantum Torah is it's important for us to understand what is, first of all, quantum theory, and apply that and then fuse it with Torah teaching. Lubavitcher Rebbe, in fact, I was at a Hasidic gathering with the Rebbe, I guess it's now, almost 23 years now, and he talked about anyone who thinks there is a contradiction between Torah and science and Torah hasn't learned enough science and hasn't learned enough Torah, because Torah means instruction. Therefore, Torah, if we understand it with simple faith and acquiring knowledge every day by learning it every day, understand that it is the source of all forms of knowledge, but how it morphs down into human intellect, well, that's the rest of the story of the history of the human family. So when we talk about a concept in physics, we're talking about a principle that matter and energy can assume the properties of a particle and a wave. And also this can explain how different levels of radiation of energy can take place from different levels of matter. Like, for instance, when we consider a textbook definition of a particle, we're talking about a piece of matter so small to be considered without magnitude, though having inertia and the force of attraction. So something which seems so small, it's considered to be without magnitude, but yet it pulls things to it and it stays in place. It doesn't waver. It has this inert quality. On the other hand, a wave is just the opposite. A wave is something which is in motion. It can be the signal of a hand. It could be swinging something. It can be in the level of a series of advancing impulses set up by a vibration pulsation or disturbance in the air or some other medium, like when you transmit heat, light, sound, etc. Then we have Torah, and we understand that in Torah there can be aspects of particles and waves within Torah instruction. Mordechai, what do you think of this idea of fusing together Torah and physics, quantum physics concepts, with Torah instruction?
Actually, Torah and physics had always been fused together, but naturally, since our knowledge as human beings were limited and our consciousness was sort of limited to only understand what the prophets had been telling us, or the deeds that the prophets had been doing, but it did not mean that quantum physics or mathematics or any type of science was not present within the deeds of the prophets. So let's say in the deeds of Moses, when he had departed the Red Sea, it was purely quantum physics, because how could you do such a thing? Through God's, Hashem's power, he had moved all the particles around in between air and water, and naturally separated the water. It is like at the first verses of Genesis, he had separated the waters. So we have two water separations. So both of them is pure physics. So there, nothing really had changed. Only our consciousness had changed, that we can conceive what is really happening around us in the world and what is Hashem doing or using to give us certain things, like a beautiful sunshine. It's also physics through the air, moisture, and humidity. Every morning when the sun rises or sets has a different optical value to it because of the different in within the physics of our atmosphere. So this is what I could add to this.
Okay, very good. So let's go right into our... I basically have 30 essential Torah quantum energy points, but we're going to start with sort of like a preparation to so to speak, lubricate our thinking mechanisms and our heart pulsations and, of course, our speech elaboration capacities. And if anyone is... I kind of uploaded this show only just several minutes ago, so it's just probably going to be you and I, Mordechai, but if anyone is... by chance listening in to the live version, you can call in at 347-838-8669 and you can make the show more organic and you can offer your particles of consciousness, and I'm sure that it will also morph into waves of awareness. So Rav Hillel Meir Parich was a chassid of three Lubavitch Rebbes, the first, second, and third Rebbes, came up with a seminal teaching that, based on the teachings of the Rebbes that he worked with and worked for, that there is a axiomatic statement, which is basically the essence of the Jews' commitment to the unification of God's name by the pronunciation of the Shema Yisrael, or we say Shema Israel, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the implication of the word Shema, not just when literally translated into English, means hear, O Israel, or hear. So Rav Hillel explains that it's not just a simple understanding of, you know, you should hear what I'm saying, or I should hear what I'm saying to myself as I proclaim the unity, which is not a numerical unity, which is, you know, going back to this whole idea of understanding unity from a quantum physics level, but it's a unity as a how much more so that is inclusive of all emanations of quantum energy and quantum consciousness. That it is the understanding that it's it implies a primary type of not just hearing but understanding, which a person should understand that by us physically, we have Israel physically pronouncing out the name, the word Shema, we're actually activating an intention within our physical ear, which opens up a spiritual power, which I think is present in any human being, not just the Jewish people, called Panimiyat Ozen, the inner aspect of the ear, which the Rav Hillel explains is a spiritual power that is enclosed in the physical ear. And we know the ears, because they are parallel to the brains, in particular, the hearing has a unique relationship with the brain to empower it through what the ear hears, by being activated by this spiritual book called inner ear, inner spiritual ear, to understand and distinguish the difference between good and evil and truth in something which is not the truth. And this is also learned out from a verse in the story of Job. Can an ear distinguish words? Well, the ear itself hears the words. It doesn't distinguish, but from the inner dimension of Torah, the spiritual ear within the physical ear can distinguish the words. And if the person's mind is working on a normative human level, and they also have been empowered by teachings of Torah, they can actually have a sense of right and wrong and distinguishing whether something is the truth or not when they interact with that particular phenomena. Mordechai, would you like to comment on this?
That's a really interesting subject. I never really thought about this one before, of course, like many other things. And, you know, as soon as our words leave our mouth, there is definitely a certain type of wavelength. And just as we would say that Hashem had created this universe with words, He had said something and it had become what He had said. He had created, used words also. So what did those words, what did His words conclude? Was there any special type of ingredient to those words? What was the physical value or the quantum value of those words? How did this creation exactly happen? We don't know. Scientists are still trying to look for it, look into the depth of it. You know, they're trying to use a large Hadron Collider in Switzerland to try to find how the universe had been came to presence, how it came to existence. The only thing they forget is that there were many ingredients within the creation of the universe. So whenever we say out a word, we're not only saying the words, we are also using these certain wavelengths, these certain quantum fields that are moving within our words, because if we break down everything to the smallest particle of the universe, we will find the same exact thing, even in our words, or in our body, or in our heart, or in a simple tree like a shrub. So then we are basically, with our words, we are creating. So we are creating, let's say, a reaction. So the brain will naturally understand, or our subconscious will understand if it is the truth or it is a lie. Naturally, we will have to translate this subconscious understanding to a higher level. So it is so important for us to meditate on Hashem's presence, and meditate on his teachings. And as somebody does that, will use these wavelengths for his own understanding within his own life to expand his consciousness, so those unknown subconscious parts of his brain would be included within his conscious life, so therefore he can make a difference between truth or lie.
Beautiful. Now, I just want to, before we go further into the 30 quantum energy, Torah quantum energy points, that the Most High, God's word at the beginning of the creation, again, we're speaking only on an allegorical fashion because none of us were there, and I haven't seen this, you know, coined or phrased in this expression of Torah that I've been learning for the last around 26 years, that we could humbly assume on an allegorical manner that initially we could say God's word to create the creation was something of a particle without magnitude, because what is one word of the Most High in relation to who he really is a contraction of his consciousness, which of course is infinite, but yet it's this, the fact that that particle of his initial statement in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth, the Most High created the heavens and earth, is having a wave effect to this day, because on the one hand, it has no magnitude, but at the same time, too, as a particle, it's inert, meaning nothing can stand before the Most High's word. And we are constantly, the whole creation, paradoxically, as we're being pulled more into his word, because it has a force that pulls us into his word. Now, whether or not we accept the word of the Most High or not, that's another issue, which we won't go into, and that's a question really every one of us has to answer ourselves. So I think we're really open. I think we've lubricated our listeners and hopefully our own minds, hearts, and souls, Mordechai, with this type of opening discussion. And that's why I want to continue in this series with the Most High's blessings, this idea of quantum Torah, because there's just so much to talk about infusing science and Torah together to show to the rest of the world as they're looking for that guard particle. They found the Kepler, you know, that new Kepler planet. But we have to understand, we have to work on releasing particles of kindness, particles of prayer, particles of brotherhood, which will lead the wave of the real revolution, the revolution of evolution towards the messianic era. Your thoughts on that matter?
Yeah, this is very interesting. The particle of brotherhood is, and particle of peace for that fact, or, you know, any of these words that are powerful, in some cases are overused, but in our case it is the re-establishing of these words into their original form, into their original matter, where peace really means peace and brotherhood really means brotherhood. So how do we get these establishing these points again? It is through knowledge. It is through the knowledge that emanates from certain teachings. For example, as we're talking about it this morning, I'm participating in Talmudic ethics, and as I expand my consciousness about the ethics of the Talmud, I also understand the depth of brotherhood, about not to stand idly over the blood of your brother per se. You know, I'm just brought up. I just brought up one sentence here, but it is a reestablishment. So even through simple physical actions or physical words or physical teachings, can one reestablish those particles, and from that can generate a wavelength from this physical universe up to a higher universe, so it would connect him closer to that word which you were talking about, you know, allegorical word or the word of Hashem.
Right. So let's go right now into it. Here is now Torah quantum energy point number one. And it's a simple one. It is a well-known thing or fact that Hanukkah, the festival of lights, is for 8 days. Torah quantum energy point number two. What is not as well known are the in-depth discussions Israelite sages have conducted concerning the reason for establishing the festival of lights, Hanukkah, for 8 days. Torah quantum energy point number three. After all, one jar of oil with the seal of the Kohen Gadol should have been sufficient to provide only 1 day's fuel for lighting the menorah. Torah quantum energy point number four. So the next 7 days of light emanating from the menorah in the rededicated Beit HaMikdash, Holy Temple in Jerusalem, defied the order of natural law of the usage of olive oil. Torah quantum energy point number five. Another view held that it was no miracle the jar containing the oil was sufficient for 1 day. So really the miracle is the 7 days of continual menorah usage without cessation. That was the miracle. It's a 7 day miracle. Torah quantum energy point number six. So why would the holiday of Hanukkah be 8 days? Torah quantum energy point number seven is because, blessed souls, after the Greeks had defiled the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, which included defiling all the other jars of oil designated solely to be the fuel source for the burning of the lights of the menorah, finding one jar with the Kohen Gadol seal was in fact a contributing factor, so to speak, the beginning of the 8 days of the Festival of Lights. You had the finding of the oil as being one miracle, and then the 7 days of being able to use the oil as an, so it's seven plus one there. Mordechai, what are your thoughts on these first Torah quantum energy points?
Well, it's very interesting because I know that you are a great advocate of the seven Noahide laws. So there is another seven. So we are always talking. So this celebration. Let me just shoot out here something that it's occurred to me. Seven, the seven Noahide laws, and seven is God's number, also Hashem's number. So we have seven plus 1 day. Seven is the 7 days of the week. And so what is the seven? It is like the miracle for not only us Jews, but also for the nations, the Noahide nations, that a miracle can occur even after defilement of something that is holy. Even that after, let's say, Noah's sons had been given the seven Noahide commandments, and these commandments had not been kept properly. Still, there is a way toward redemption, toward the miracle, so we can bring the light back into the nations and elevate them onto a higher consciousness. And the plus one could be the Moshiach itself, himself, where Moshiach is the one above the seven Noahide laws, which will bring in another set, possibly another set of laws for the Noahide nations, and elevate them into this miraculous momentum, to this miraculous event, where we could infuse into the world to come, the Noahide nations. So, to me, it is not only one level when we have 7 plus 1 days of miracle sliding. It is the quantum field extending itself into all of the ages, into the ages of Noah, into the ages of Moses, into the ages of Adam, into the ages of to come. So the field is generating an infinite amount of possibilities. So this is what I had in my thought.
Beautiful. And you also are kind of hinting to what I'm going to be talking about. You know, we talked a little bit before the show what we'll be discussing. So I think that you're further lubricating those who will either be hearing this live version or the archive version, hopefully, at the proper time. So now let's go back into Torah quantum energy point 8. Rather than go further into different opinions concerning the reasoning of the 8 days of Hanukkah, the festival of lights, we now, blessed souls, want to take a quantum leap into the consciousness of Torah's Chassidus and the Shlah, who was a rabbi who lived, I think, around 500 years ago, who taught, both in, it's brought down in Torah's Chassidus, Chassidut, and the Shlah, that the festival days of the year have a connection to the Torah portion, which is read the week the festival days fall out on. Torah quantum energy point number 9. For instance, Hanukkah, in the year that the Lubavitcher Rebbe revealed concepts I'm plucking from to share with you, blessed souls, fell out between the Torah portion of Vayeshev, which talked about initially the selling of Yosef to, you know, him being sold by his brothers to Midianites and then to Egypt into slavery. And this week's Torah portion, Miketz, where we start the beginning of the Torah portion with Pharaoh having dreams of healthy cows and sick cows and stealthily grown wheat being consumed by very sickly looking wheat. And this teaching from the Rebbe from 5718 or 1957, again, the energy of this teaching continues in this morphed form into our humble little effort here on Blog Talk Radio. So quantum, Torah quantum energy point number 10, the central point or the central theme in both parshas, again, is the saga of Yosef HaTzadik, Joseph the Righteous One, because he was, in fact, the closest approximation to the life of his father, Jacob Israel, Yaakov Yisrael. For example, just as Jacob Israel, Yaakov Yisrael, was pursued by his brother Esau, with the intent of harming him, so too Joseph was pursued by his 10 brothers with the intent to harm him. Torah quantum energy point number 10. And we're based upon what was mentioned in Torah quantum energy point 8. What is the connection between the story or saga of Joseph, and Hanukkah? Torah quantum energy point number 11. Before we try to connect the Torah quantum energy points of 8 and 10 together, let us pause for a moment to consider the difference between the simple numerical values of 7 and 8. Therefore, we now are at Torah quantum energy point number 12. 7 is associated with the number of festival days to the Most High, namely Passover and Sukkot, the time, the feast of our going, you know, the commemoration of our going out of Egypt, and Sukkot, where we give thanks at the end of our harvesting, at the end of the summer. And these two holidays, of course, are observed by the Israelite nations for 7 days as they live in the land of Israel, while outside of the land of Israel, the Jewish nation celebrates 8 days, both of Passover and Sukkot. Then it's called Shmini Atzeret. Well, it's called Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah. It's really almost it's really 9 days, I should say. So there's a 7 day of there's an extra day. Not of Sukkot, let me correct myself. There's actually an extra day of Shmini Atzeret. It becomes Simchat Torah. So, again, seven is, in the normal conditions of when Jewish people live in our land in Israel, keep 7 days of Passover, keep 7 days of Sukkot. Therefore, Torah quantum energy point number seven is associated with completeness encompassing a prescribed cycle within the vessel of time. Torah quantum energy point number 14. So encompassing is this complex cycle that it even includes the blessed Shabbat, the Sabbath. Now, Shabbos is a very unique day, blessed souls, because it's a day specifically designated as a day of tranquility, enabling the blessed observer to access a type of higher consciousness. Now, this type of higher consciousness we address in Torah quantum energy point number 14, which Israelite sages have called Shabbat itself, the Blessed Sabbath, is actually a taste of the world to come. Now, before I get to Torah quantum energy point number 15, I'd like to ask Mordechai to chime in with any thoughts he has on these concepts.
You know, you have explained them just beautifully. What I would like to add is Torah quantum point number 13 is how you have fused and how are these points fused together. It can also be fused together with us. We become a man, 13 years of age. We fuse together all that we had learned up to that point to our bar mitzvah. Becoming a man. So these points, these essential points up to number 13 are sort of defining a young adult or a young a person that has been gathering knowledge up to number 13. And then from 13 up, we have more points and more complicated and more complex fields infused together. So the understanding and the complexity of the understanding of a young adult and later on an adult human being is as complex as the next point to come.
Beautiful. Thank you, Monica, for that. That's why it's great when Jews get together and we're feasting on teachings of Torah. As we understand it on a recapitulated fashion through my humble efforts, and basically what I present as a particle, you reveal as a wave, and what you shoot back to me as a wave, I'm going to try to remind people it also has a particle deep within its essence. Okay, let's go now into Torah quantum energy point number 15. Just as Mordechai made a parenthetical statement, we're going to be parenthetically speaking, blessed souls, to remind you that if you want to get a sneak preview of not of the world to come, but what the messianic era entails, come and taste and digest in a peaceful, pleasant manner a moment where you meditate on not hating anybody, not being jealous of anybody, and last but not least, not being in competition with anybody. Torah quantum energy point number 16. Now, although Shabbos comes at the end of this complex cycle of time of 7 days, it is well, and it's very important to note, it precedes the next 6 days of the weekly time cycle of 168 hours, because Sunday through Friday is 6 times 24 hours, is 144 hours, plus the 24 hours of Blessed Shabbat. That equals 168. Now, if we go into the Torah of Gematria, which is basically we take the numerical value of 168, it corresponds to the three Hebrew letters of Kuf, Samech, Ches, which can serve and which can be rearranged as follows to imply the following concept. What is involved in the formulation by the Most High of a 168-hour week? So the Ches, the numerical of 8, stands for Chochmah, wisdom. The numerical value of the next letter in its numerical value 168 is Samech, which is the value of 60. That is referring to stima, concealed. So we're talking about what's involved in formulating from the Most High's perspective 168-hour full cycle 7-day week is Chachma Stima, a concealed wisdom. And then the numerical value of 100 is the Kuf, and that stands for the word Kedusha. So we see that it is a holy type of concealed wisdom on the part of the Most High that he was not bound by but chosen his wisdom and will to manifest a 7-day work week or cycle. Forget about the work. Let's just talk about the 7-day cycle. Because from normative, humanive consciousness, let's admit, is much more concerned when we talk about a 7-day week cycle. So most of us, I don't exempt myself from this type of consciousness as well. Most of us are more concerned with waking up to the alarm clock, punching in at time at work, and knowing when to punch the time clock out when we're ready to leave the day, or when we're watching a football game, and when the two teams are involved in proper clock management, especially the offense, during the last 3 minutes and 28 seconds to advance the football until one side scores the winning touchdown, leaving one's opponent unable to use the remaining seconds left to rally back and win the game. But the truth of the matter is, all of these matters of getting up in the morning according to our need to get up in the morning to start our day, punching the time clock, to punch out the time clock, to watch a football game, to see how a football game is being managed by the team trying to drive for the final score. All of this is subsumed in what we would consider to be a particle of consciousness, this Chachmas Kima Kedusha, this concealed holy wisdom, the Most High, that in fact, that all of these things I just mentioned on the most mundane levels have a root, are waves emanating out of the particles of this number 168. Mordechai, what are your thoughts on these matters?
Wow, it's very complex. And, you know, the thing is, whenever I talk to you or we have this radio shows, you come up with so much stuff that I truly have to almost wreck my brain to encompass everything that you just said and form my own own ways of seeing it, and plus connect it into what you just said. Very amazing, and I would like to join back to the beginning of our conversation about the wavelength and mm-hmm. how science is just trying to figure out how this world had become. Of course, science does not acknowledge Hashem's creative power because science now, you know, it's fashionable to be an atheist, which is impossible to be. But anyways, at least an agnostic, we could say that. So the concealed wisdom, which you just talked about, is within the 7 days of the week, within this 168, which comes into the concealed wisdom, Chachma Simcha, or not Simcha,
Chachma Sima Kedusha.
Chachma Sima Kedusha.
Yeah.
Chachma Sima Kedusha, the concealed wisdom.
I'm sorry. Not Sima, Stima. Stima. Like
Stima.
Yeah.
Stima. Chachma Stima Kedusha is basically revealing itself after the 6 days of creation and the 7th day of Shabbat of Hashem. And now we are in the period of the 7 days of the 168 Chachma Stima Kedusha, where science, a.k.a. mankind, is revealing, and Hashem slowly revealing to us by injecting into our consciousness a new quantum field. Hashem is revealing through us, humankind, a new wisdom, which is about his creation and him and infinity itself. So basically, where are we in that 7 days at the moment after creation? Where are we exactly right now? How far are we from Hashem's Shabbos when he took his day off? How far are we in? That is my question. I only have a question here. I don't have an answer. And what is humankind's condition and exact position within this 168, within this understanding, within this awakening? We should say that too, within this scientific revolution, within this quantum field.
Well, good question. Now, from what I've learned, that, you know, the sages of Israel have quantified the creation as being part of a 7-millennium type of configuration. In the first millennium, you had Adam. In the first 1,000 years is the Adamic era. And then from year 1,000, that was the first millennium. The second millennium was leading up to the time of Noah and Abraham. The next millennium was basically the Mosaic or Moses millennium, because in that period the Torah was given. Okay? And then from there we had from the Mosaic time to, let's see, basically it culminating in after the destruction of the first temple and the rebuilding of the second. And basically around that time of the story of Hanukkah until us eventually losing the second temple and going to exile. Then the fourth millennium is basically the development and the continuing development of the Talmudic structure, which is basically the oral Torah structure, which is basically just as valid and as kadosh, although it is subservient to the written Torah, the written Tanakh that we have. And then for the fifth millennium was basically leading up towards the revelation of dimensions of Torah, which would quantify the Talmudic teachings and solidify the Jewish law standards that as communities got more and spread out, they'd be able to turn to the law as opposed to just going directly to the Talmudic teachings. And this sixth millennium is typified by basically the era preceding the culmination of following up in the culmination of the Messianic era, where we have the great dimensions of the hidden parts of the Torah, which previously were not allowed to be revealed to the masses, not just to Jews, but to all the blessed nations of the earth. And that's why we're having such a conversation now, which is also we see that corresponds to the explosion in technology. The two souls, you in California and I in New Jersey, and Brooklyn, excuse me, and anyone who's listening to this live version or the archive version with the blessings of the Most High upon them to listen to it and share it with another person, that we can prepare the world for this time of the revelation of particles morphing into waves of unity, true unity, not false unity, brotherhood, kindness, understanding, wisdom. And also, if we understand that the seventh millennium starts with the ending of the first 6,000 years of creation, since we are on the Hebrew calendar day of 5,772, you merely have to divide 6,000 into 5,662. And so I'm mentally dividing, unless you have a calculator in front of you. So 6,000 into 5,772 is 0.9. It's about 94%, maybe coming close to 95% of the first 6 millennium have been completed. We only have about 28 years till we have the official millennium of the Mashiach, the Messiah, to be revealed and to usher in the era when the whole occupation of the world will be to know the knowledge of Hashem. But of course, that can be activated early, just as we left Egypt early. We shall hopefully leave the exile early in kindness and mercy, give the instructions of inner dimension fusing with outer dimension of Torah, or on a human experiential level, inner consciousness or subconscious, superconsciousness, having a revealed symbiotic relationship with normative, primitive consciousness. So I don't know if I answered your question, but I think it gave myself further reason to ponder, and maybe you'd like to interface with what I just shared with you.
Actually, you answered my question, so I have to further ponder on this one for probably for the next 5 or 6 years.
So let's then go, you know, and that's the beauty of Blog Talk Radio, Blessed Souls, whoever's going to hear this archive version or is currently listening to the live version, is that you can go back and you can take the cursor and pull it back to review these concepts. Torah is to be reviewed. It's not just, you know, taking a vitamin pill and that's the end of the story. No, Torah must be learned, internalized, digested, and then assimilated to become the bones of the bones and the flesh and the flesh, the blood and the blood and the water and the water of your soul and physical body. Now let's go into Torah quantum energy point number 17. However, blessed souls, as we look straight into the horizon of this Torah quantum energy point number 17, we see that not just is the number 8 one digit higher in numerical value than the number 7, or another way of looking at it as a 14.28% increase in overall numerical value. According to Torah teachings, the number 8 encompasses even all The number 8 encompasses even the all-encompassing weekly time cycle of 7. Yet, it can penetrate and elevate this cycle of 7. And we see as well, there are, for instance, the example we'll be given now is to, on a human perception level, there were and are and will be 7 men who are considered to be the 7 spiritual shepherds of the nation of Israel. And I'll read this to you now. The 7 spiritual shepherds of the nation of Israel are, as taught by our sages of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Yitzhak, Jacob, Israel, Yaakov, Israel, Aaron, Joseph, King David, and last but not least, Moses, Moshe. Then, as mentioned by the prophet Micah in Hebrew, there are 8 anointed men of Israel. Who are those 8 anointed men? Number 1 was Jesse, Yishai, the father of King David. Saul, or Shaul, the first king of Israel. Samuel, or Shmuel Hanavi, Samuel the prophet, who anointed Saul and David to become the first 2 kings of Israel. The prophet Amos, the prophet Zephaniah, the king Sidkiyahu, Zedekiah, the prophet Elijah, Eliyahu Anavi, and Messiah, the Mashiach. Now, these 8 anointed men, or princes, or leaders of Israel, their spiritual influences were and are and always will be prime for guiding human souls to elevate their consciousness above normative awareness and consciousness. I'm sorry, above normative awareness and considerations. And again, please review Quantum Torah Point number 16. For we know that the Torah of Moses, we are aware of, blessed souls, contains both within it written and oral traditions. However, the Torah of Mashiach, which we long for, is at a level of universal consciousness and yet has not been revealed to us. And one of the defining points of the Mashiach, as we further elucidate in Torah Quantum Energy Point number 18, that the Mashiach will be identifiable quite clearly to the entire world as the quintessential anointed one of Israel, who shall even teach Torah to the quintessential prophet of Israel, Moses, and the patriarchs of Israel. And the good news is, blessed souls, the rest of the human family. Now, before we get to Mordechai's questions or comments or inquiries, whatever you might want to call them, Torah Quantum Energy Point number 19 is that there's another interesting contrast regarding the numerical value of 7 and 8. It's listed in the Talmudic tractate of Erechin, which is how to make evaluations according to oral Torah tradition. The kinnor, which can be identified as either the harp or like a multi-string instrument, perhaps similar to a guitar, I'm not exactly sure if the kinnor is the harp or like a, something that's akin to a guitar, was used in the temple and had a seven, was a seven-stringed instrument. However, after Mashiach, the Messiah, leads in the reconstruction of the third and final eternal temple, the Beis HaMikdash, the kinnor, this harp, or either eight-string guitar, will be just that, will be eight strings. So Mordechai, what are your thoughts on the matter of, you know, seven strings, eight strings, you know, people talking about string theory, and identifying Mashiach as he must be able to teach in a way that's evident to the whole human family, Torah to Moshe, who was the original transmitter of the Torah in its completeness from Mount Sinai over 3,323 years ago.
I only have one thing that I would like to notch in here is what are things do? They create wavelengths, and wavelengths are basically what we are talking about throughout this discussion here is that you know, the songs of you know, David can be put back into further application with the eight string harp. So the wavelength of the king, of our king, can be heard again and be internalized. So it will expand our consciousness into a further level. Because the seven string harp means that we had been wandering on the physical planes of our understanding, but the eight string, as it will be added by the Moshiach, it will elevate this understanding of this song of the universe into a higher level, so we can step up to further knowledge and further understanding. This is what I think. It's we could draw this analogy this far, you know. So that's all I could say.
Okay, very good. We're basically going to probably just do two more points. We're not going to cover all of our quantum energy, Torah quantum energy points today. But I think that even though if we continue to next week, and next week, if we do our show next week on a Thursday, it will be after Hanukkah. Still, the concepts can be talked about next week. As well, we can take the lessons of Hanukkah and spread them out as waves of awareness the rest of the year. So going into Torah quantum energy point number 20, while we are discussing one interesting concept, blessed souls, let us glare strongly once again at the distinction between the number 7 and the number 8. Therefore, we draw ourselves closer to Torah quantum energy point number 21. The number 7 indicates for us, blessed souls, there is a fundamental manifestation of measurements by which Elukut, Godliness, divinity, is dispersed into creation. That is to say, it is accepted that all revelations that have occurred, are occurring, and ever will occur, will occur in a cycle of a seven-day week, until we're told otherwise, of course, by the prophets and the Mashiach himself. So therefore, we should understand, within each one of the 7 days, there are sub-measurements associated with emotional attributes, measurements from above to bring us down bounty below. They are kindness, or chesed, or also love, might, restriction, and Hebrew known as gevura, beauty, synthesis, and teferis, victory, in Hebrew netzach, splendor, hod, foundation, yesod, and then kingdom or rulership, which corresponds to Malchut. This is alluded to a verse in Psalms 25:6, quote, "Remember your mercies, Almighty Hashem, and your kindnesses, for they are eternal," end of quote. Torah quantum energy point number 22, there does exist, blessed souls, a quality within the number 8 that is not just one digit plus 7, or as you mentioned before, a measurable 14.28% increase in volume. The number 8 is an expressed source for all understanding and source of all understanding within this blessed universe. Torah Quantum Energy Point Number 23. When one person reveals an emotional attribute, a measurement of their consciousness through the seven attributes I just mentioned, especially a novel addition to one's previously accumulated emotional attributes, one would intends, according to the majority of human experiences, to share that emotion, that specified measurement of energy with another human. However, in Torah Quantum Energy Point Number 24, one's intellect, when in an expansive state of cognitive kinetic knowledge, cognitive kinetic knowledge gathering, does not feel compelled to distill this experience into contracted forms suitable for descending into one's own emotional attributes. Meaning, let's restate it, in that one, when one is seeking facts and knowledge, one is not seeking to dummy down the knowledge, but rather to expand his database. Torah Quantum Energy Point Number 25, rather one can ultimately distribute pure Torah comprehension without the responsibility of contracting concepts into bite-sized emotional attributes. Okay, I think we might finish these Torah Quantum Energy Points because we only have five more, Mordechai, and I'll let you make a summarization. Torah Quantum Energy Point Number 26. So we can meditate on the significance of the Festival of Lights, Hanukkah, consisting of 8 days, illuminating a consciousness, echoing a consciousness from even beyond the Messianic era and world to come, including the great resurrection of those who sleep, at least for the moment, in the dust. We're talking about those who have passed on to the next level of life. Torah Quantum Energy Point Number 27. But what would the Festival of Lights have to do with Joseph? Well, Hanukkah is an eight-day holiday corresponding to another eight-day holiday, Shemini Atzeres, which we talked about, which comes after the 7 days of Sukkot, the Festival of Tabernacles. So Shemini Atzeres corresponds to the righteous Joseph, Yosef HaTzadik, and therefore we should understand this. In Torah Quantum Energy Point Number 28, blessed souls, can you connect the quantum dots between Hanukkah, which is 8 days, which corresponds to Shemini Atzeres, which is the eighth day after the beginning of Sukkot, the Festival of Tabernacles, and how Joseph corresponds to the Shemini Atzeres, because, again, Abraham, the patriarch Abraham, corresponds to Passover. Yitzhak, the patriarch Isaac, corresponds to the festival of the giving of the Torah. And Yaakov Yisrael, corresponds to the 7 days of Sukkot, coming from Jacob, who corresponds to the number seven of the 7 days of Sukkot, is Yosef, who comes from Jacob Israel. So therefore, Yosef corresponds to Shemini Atzeres. So Hanukkah, which is eight, corresponds to Shemini Atzeres, which is eight. And so Yosef, who corresponds to Shemini Atzeres, therefore, Yosef HaTzadik, corresponds to Hanukkah, and Hanukkah corresponds to Yosef. Now, that's basically that point. We got to the 28 points I wanted to get to. The 30th Torah Quantum Energy Point Number 29 is distilling the teaching from the Ben Yishai, the great wise one of Baghdad. Great purifications are the byproduct of awesome prayers. Such prayers of such heights are of such consequence. The future redemption are dependent on the purifications affected by the prayers of the human family. It is of great importance Israelites gather, in particularly in appropriate places of prayer, known as synagogues or shuls, congregations, because there, where you have a quorum of 10 men, the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, is there and accessible for those who know how to access it. And Torah Quantum Energy Point Number 30 is my good friend, brother in soul, space, and time, Mordechai Mosey Sontag, giving his input on these 29 Torah Quantum Energy Points.
Yes, my input is not impudent, but it's more of an expanding one. You know,
what really at the end, I don't know which point was it, but one of the point was that whatever we learn, we do not want to stupefy. We do not want to lower that knowledge or make it less valuable at all. That really got me at the end, because I don't know which point was that. Number 25, I think. Number 25, mm-hmm. Possibly.
True.
So that
That was Torah. Let me just look back here. I'm flipping back to my notes here. I wish I could say I memorized it so clearly, but no. That was Torah. That was Torah quantum energy point number 25.
25. Okay. It was number 25, which is very very interesting, because just what we are talking here today is very complex and very. It's a very not hardly digestible once somebody had studied and at least read the Torah, or if it's if we're talking about a Noahide brother, then it would be at least read the Old Testament and understand the basics of this quantum field of Hashem's word, of Hashem's universe, physical universe, and spiritual universe that he has given us through these words, through these wavelengths, quantum lengths of understanding. So it is always to look forward, to encompass these quantum points into one's consciousness, and not to try to step back and say, okay, it is fine and it is nice to have quantum mechanics, quantum physics in our collective consciousness of humankind, but I think I want to pull out from the equation the Most High, Hashem, God, etc., whichever way we give, whichever name someone prefers to use, not to take him out of the equation, because it's impossible to take him out of the equation, because then there's no more equation. So, because he is the equation himself, and as soon as one takes it out, it is a wild goose chase, which scientists are doing right now at the moment. But, on the other hand, they are also Hashem's creation, and their wild goose chase had been maybe generated by Hashem, and he allows to theoretically saying his name to be pulled out of the equation. So let's say how far humankind is going with that kind of equation, and we have been seeing how far humankind is going. Second World War, and all the destructive elements of our human nature whenever we try to pull his name out of the equation. So the point number 25 is a very important point. It's a very important point which could, encompass all the other points at the same time. For me, it is not the end point, but it is a conclusion which I draw, and not to stupefy these understandings. That's
beautiful. And I would like to chime off on this note that if the world of science wants to pull the Most High out of the equation, they're like three blind mice trying to play dice and trying to figure if the Most High is playing celestial dice with the universe. But since they can't read the numbers on the dice, they're just, basically taking a guess and calling intellectual inquiry. So with that being said, this is not to knock science, but to realize it's just a tool. And I think that you made a beautiful point, Mordechai, earlier in the show, that you said that science is man. But unfortunately, in the last 100 years plus or so, people started to begin worship something that man made called science, or started to more actively apply to human experience. And we know what that happens when man starts to serve something other than God. It's a type of strange type of idolatry. That doesn't make science is idolatry, but we have to make sure that in any endeavor in life, it should be with the intent, according to our current normative level of consciousness. No one's asking anyone to to leave the world and to say we are not of the world. No, if we are, we of the nation of Israel say we are of this world because we come to reveal that the Most High is running the show. So anyway, since it's the time of Hanukkah, I want to end the show, Blessed Souls, with my good friend David Dohm's song, We're Gonna Win. And how are we gonna win, Blessed Souls? We're gonna win by getting engaged in acts of returning to the Most High. It's called Tshuva. We're gonna win, David Dohm, to help you get home to the epicenter of your heart, your divine image. Tzelem Elokim, it is no dream. Take care, everyone.